The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
The Crossman Conversation is hosted by John Crossman. John's heart is to see our community of leaders unite around what we have in common. John will be joined by political leaders, religious leaders, as well as activists making a difference in our nation. Here is your host for the Crossman Conversation, John Crossman.
Hello, this is John Crossman, and welcome to the Crossman Conversation. And as we get started, Mike, I got a quick story for you. You know, Mike, I have had the honor of all these years. I meet with young people, people ramping up their careers, and they come see me and ask for advice. And one of the things I always tell young people is it's important that you follow up, right? So it's important you follow up, say, in a handwritten note or something, you connect to people. So recently, this very impressive young man came and saw me, you know, wanted some advice and stuff like that. So I gave him some advice. And so he sent me a follow-up note. This is a little different from this one. The guy happens to be an NFL quarterback. He wrote the follow-up note on an NFL football and sent it to me. Like, I would have used a Post-it note. He used an NFL football. Can you believe that?
That's awesome, man.
So that guy is our guest today. Jeff Driscoll is here with us, NFL quarterback. Jeff, thanks for being here with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Thanks for having me. And thanks for keeping that ball in the office there.
Absolutely.
I know you're hiding it behind all the cool people, but I saw it up there hiding in the corner.
No. I didn't even know where the Texans were. I'm like, where is that? Is that Maine? I don't know. But no, I've learned now. I've studied it because I'm a fan of you and I'm a fan of any team you're at.
So. Texans for at least one more year.
There you go. Well, I want to talk. First, Jeff, thanks for being here. I want to talk a little bit about your background. So you played high school football at Central Florida, correct?
Yeah, so I went to Hagerty High School in Oviedo. And, you know, we took our lumps in football for the first few years and, you know, won a couple more games each and every year up until my senior year. And we happened to make the state playoffs, so which was huge for, you know, a brand new school. And, you know, had a great time at Hagerty, played football and baseball there. And, you know, had really good careers in both and was fortunate enough to go on and play collegiately at the University of Florida.
That's awesome. It's funny, you know, I think you know this, but my youngest daughter is a weightlifter. Like, she was girls high school weightlifting, and it was her regional weightlifter. It was at Hagerty.
Oh, yeah.
So I've spent a long Saturday at that high school.
Yeah. Yep. That's the stomping grounds
right
there.
That's right. So that's a great school. So tell me about this. When you were a senior, you were like one of the most recruited high school athletes in America. Like, what was that process like, Jeff? That must have been crazy.
You know, it was. And it started early on in my career, probably my sophomore year. You know, letters started coming in the mail, which mm-hmm. I thought was cool. So the first letter I ever got was from was either Coastal Carolina, I think. So mm-hmm. In my head, I was like, well, I'm going to Coastal Carolina. That's where I'm going because
sure.
They recruited me first. That's where
right.
I'm going. And then they kind of started coming in more and more, and we would go to camps, and I got some more exposure, and things kind of went wild. So it was awesome. You know, I'm not going to sit back and say, like, you know, I hated the attention. You know, I really did enjoy the recruiting process, you know, to have my choice of schools. But, you know, I always go back and tell the story of how my parents really just helped me stay grounded and humble, you know, because I feel like if I didn't have that guidance, I would have, you know, let it get to my head and, you know, not be like I am today. So
no, it could ruin a person, right?
Yeah,
and it could actually... could mess a person up, like, and then if they feel like, oh, I didn't achieve what I should have achieved and stuff like that, that could be very harmful.
Right.
You don't
I mean,
think
when,
about it that way, but it
you
could
know,
be.
All your peers are just, you know, normal high school students. And I, you know, not that I wasn't a normal high school student, but,
right.
You know, the attention that you get is a lot different than most are used to. And, you know, most people aren't ready for that kind of attention. I know I wasn't. So my parents helped me, you know, get past that.
My buddy Clifton Abrams came from Texas and played for FSU. He was on the track team, so we knew each other. I saw him on an ESPN thing one time that when he was a high school senior, high school footballer in Texas, that he was in a grocery store, and the grocery store the customers became aware he was there, and they gave him applause while he was there.
Yeah.
And so I got to imagine, you know, stuff like that's, you know, kind of crazy. So
yeah.
So you leave the phenomenal Hagerty High School and you play at UF, and you had a really cool career there, a lot of great stuff there. And then you graduated. You were an alum from the University
That's right.
of Florida.
Alum.
Which is awesome.
Go Gators.
Yeah, there you go. And then you go to Louisiana Tech, get a MBA.
Yep.
And your senior year stats there are crazy. Like, I love talking about. What was your touchdown interception ratio that year?
Ooh, you put me on the spot with that one. It was pretty good. It was close to like 4-1.
Yeah.
So I think it was, you know, like 39-7, something like that.
Yeah.
So I had a really good year. We had a great team. When I was getting recruited after I said I was going to transfer from the University of Florida, you know, there was a bunch of, you know, bunch of big teams, bunch of big universities that were after me, but, you know, something just felt right about Louisiana Tech. And, you know, I'm happy I made that decision. It worked out for me professionally, but also personally met a lot of great people, and I really enjoyed my time in Ruston, Louisiana.
And you got your master's degree.
Got my master's there. So alum of two schools and enjoyed my time at both.
That's good. Listen, that's the advice I give my kids is that you do two different schools, undergrad, graduate, mm-hmm. you did it. And then, you know, it's funny, in track and field in college athletics, that's very common. A lot of that happens a lot there too. So tell me this. I don't want too much to put you in a spot. If I said, hey, you got to pick a different college to play college football for. You can't pick the Gators, can't pick Louisiana Tech. And I'll give you, you could say three. Are there, if right now, if you were picking, you were going, are there any three schools that jumped out to you? Ooh, that'd be a cool place to play.
Yeah. So number one easy is Auburn. You know, I was super close to choosing Auburn. I went there, I want to say it was 2009 on a recruiting trip for the Iron Bowl, Auburn, Alabama. And I was going to commit after the game. I was there to commit. And Auburn was winning by like 20. Alabama storms back and wins. I said, maybe it's not the right time to commit right now. I'll mm-hmm. call them up next week and commit. And then Florida came on strong. So with all that to be said, Auburn would be number one. UCF, number two. I think it would be cool to stay home. You know, when I was getting recruited out of high school, I, you know, really didn't think much of UCF. But, you know, the more that I've been around being locally, I think it would have been cool to stay home. And then number three, I'll say Michigan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think Michigan would have been a great place to go to. Played in Detroit for a season and was able to get up to Ann Arbor a few times, and it's a beautiful campus, and the people there love Michigan. So those are my three.
That's so funny you should say that. My oldest daughter is going to go to Palm Beach Atlantic University. The younger ones lean towards Rollins. They're really toward private schools. But I had said that if I had to kind of pick something, Auburn was I don't have any personal connection to it. I just have always really respected that school.
Oh, it's beautiful. Have you had the chance to go and see the campus?
I have not. It's funny.
Oh, you'd fall in love even more.
Listen, I guest lectured at Alabama one time and got that experience. And I think they have a football team too. I'm not sure, but Auburn. You know what's funny is if you're me like an Alabama grad alum. And you say like, oh man, I love Alabama. That Bo Jackson's so good. I love saying jokes like they don't find that funny.
No.
I think it's hilarious. Yeah. They don't like that funny joke. And then UCF, you know, I attended my first UCF game actually this fall. I hosted a cabana on the field.
Oh wow.
And it was the Bethune-Cookman. You know, I'm a trustee at Bethune-Cookman. And so I was there and, man, it was pretty awesome.
Charge on.
Charge on,
it's
yeah.
It's charging
really
on
cool.
Big time right now.
And I don't know much about Michigan, but man, oh man. I do know Florida State put them on a beatdown back in the day. But but I would imagine 100,000 people a game. Yeah. That would be pretty cool. So let me ask this real quick. I want two more football questions, and then we're going to take a break, and then I want to talk about a little bit more media stuff. So a coach you never had in college, but if you kind of had a dream coach that would have coached you in college, Nate, can you think of one? Living or dead? Don't say Jesus. Okay, come on.
I don't know if he ever coached football. I bet he'd be a good coach, but
he would be.
You know, I'm gonna go with. I'll stick with the Auburn thing. I'm gonna go with Gus Malzahn.
Really?
You know, I had so many great conversations with him when I was getting recruited, and I think that you know, we could have done some really good things together. So just the offense that he runs, the way that he runs a program, you know, kind of just everything about him. From afar, I've never, you know, worked with them personally, but from afar, I would say Gus Malzahn.
Gotcha. All right, now, NFL. You're in the NFL, you're in the Super Bowl, and there's 10 seconds left in the game. You're down by four. You got to throw it in the end zone. Any wide receiver, living or dead, you got to, like, boom, that's my guy. Who would it be?
I'm going A.J. Green.
So really?
I got a chance. I was in Cincinnati for 3 years, mm-hmm. and I got a chance to watch him every day. And that guy is incredible. He doesn't talk much. He goes about his business every day. You know, you see a lot of guys who are established players, you know, 7, 8, 9 years in the league, and they start to, you know, take vet days is what we call them, where they get to stand on the sideline that day and not run. But A.J. was out there every day working hard and, you know, great guy, great player. And he's the best in the world at somehow getting 2 feet down. He gets that last toe down at the last second. So you can, you know, throw the thing basically out of bounds and he'll come down with it.
Gotcha. If in that same situation, there is a linebacker coming on a blitz on your weak side, who do you not want coming at you? Who is like, oh dude, I don't have that guy coming at me.
So there's a guy that plays for the Bills, and There's brothers in the league. They're both last name Edmonds, played at Virginia Tech. I forget which one is which, so I'm just going to say Edmonds from the Bills. He's number 49. He's about 6'5", 250 pounds, and runs a 4.4. So they don't make many guys like him, and I've never actually been hit by him, but I think it would hurt. if he got a clean run at you.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't doubt that. So I want to tell you this quick story because I just want to hear you respond. So when I was in college, I took a geology lab class. They called it Rocks for Jocks. You know, I ran a little track, and I had a couple NFL guys and future NFL guys, football guys in my group. Like Brad Johnson was in my little lab. Okay. Was one of those guys. So one of the guys in the group was a defensive player. And back then, the draft day wasn't as big as it is now. And the day he got drafted, he still came to class at the lab. And the lab was like 12 people. He got drafted by the Packers, if you can imagine that. And they were terrible back then. And I remember, like, we all were like, oh, man, I'm so sorry you drafted by the Packers. That was Leroy Butler.
How about that?
And he just got into the Hall of Fame.
That's
and,
great.
It was funny. I remember, like, that being such a sad moment. Then, boom. There you go. Isn't that crazy?
Rocks for Jocks to the Packers to the Hall of Fame.
That's right. He had my favorite play. He had a blitz in the Super Bowl where Dave Maggett tried to block him, and he pushed Maggett back, reached around him, and grabbed Drew Bledsoe and took them both down. Wow. And that guy was crazy. Well, listen, this is super fun. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about real, real deep stuff. Not that this isn't deep stuff, because it's awesome. We'll take a break. We'll be right back with Jeff Driscoll on the Crossman Conversation.
Are you looking for remote work but are worried that you don't have the right skills? The Central Florida Urban League offers a Microsoft Office Specialist course that teaches you how to use Microsoft Word, Microsoft Excel, and Microsoft PowerPoint. With your MOS certification, you will have a major advantage when applying for jobs. For more information and how to enroll, call the Central Florida Urban League at 407-841-7654 or visit our website at cful.org/Microsoft_Office_Specialist.
Once again, here is John Crossman.
We're back at the Crossman Conversation with my friend Jeff Driscoll. Jeff, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is a great conversation. I'm enjoying it.
Well, thanks for letting me ask you about all these football things that I always wanted to ask because I'm fascinated with your career and things you're doing. So tell me this. I mean, you're now entering your seventh year in the NFL. That's amazing.
Right. Yep.
Like average career is like 4 years, right?
Yeah, I think it's like just over three point something. So
wow, that's amazing.
Making a career out of it, that's for sure.
So aside from just being awesome, what is it that you think you've been around this long?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously the number one thing is you got to have talent, right? That's mm-hmm. the first thing. You got to be able to go out there and produce. It's a production league, but there's really more to it. You know, like any business, you want to be around high quality people who are going to make the team better. I've always made a point, even if I wasn't playing, to try to add value, you know, whether that's in the meeting room, on scout team. And I think the decision makers, you know, within all these teams have really seen that. And, you know, I think that's helped me helped me extend my career to this point. And obviously I want to play as much as possible. But if I'm not out there playing, I want to help contribute. And, you know, I think that gets seen in the building.
I mentioned earlier about Brad Johnson. I remember when Brad signed in the NFL, he was the lowest paid player in the entire league. Like if you ranked him, he was the lowest one. But I remember when he was in off season in college, he was always like extra. And then, of course, got a Super Bowl ring before he got done, had a really legit, great career. But so it sounds like you're that same kind of guy. It's like clearly you have talent, obviously, and you're working hard. And you are leaning in and you're taking notes and doing those things.
Absolutely.
Can you tell like when you join a new team and you walk in the locker room and you obviously everyone's talented, there's no way they're not. Can you kind of sense like, oh, that young guy's probably gonna make it, or man, that young guy's probably gonna make it? Do you see that?
Yeah, I think so. You know, my rookie year, I was in Cincinnati and I was sitting at my locker and I was kind of wide eyed looking around, trying to look for a vet to gravitate towards. And I really didn't have to look that long. There was a guy named Vinny Ray, who is now the chaplain for the Bengals, lives in Cincinnati still. And he crossed the locker room right up to me. Hey, I'm Vinny Ray. You know, I've been in the league X amount of years. You know, if you have any questions, I'd love to help you out. And that just stuck with me for so long. And, you know, I've tried to implement that everywhere I've been is, you know, try to help these young guys out. Cause I know I needed it and I know I remembered that. So I don't know if that really answers the question, but that's, you know, that's something that I try to do every year. But, you know, you can tell who wants to be helped and who can't, kind of based off body language, based off, you know, how they interact. I mean, there's some tells.
You do see, we name names when it's good. We're not going to name names when it's bad or anything like that, because we're not trying to be disrespectful. Anymore. But I imagine you sometimes see guys that have crazy talent, but they can't kind of get it together. Right.
Yeah.
So there is a part of practicing good mental health, right? And staying humble and focused, and then making some good decisions. And also the things we talk about that help people in business and in life is still true in the NFL. You can't just show up and be talented. You got to do your homework, correct?
Exactly. I mean, that's one of the biggest things is, when guys know what they're doing, they can perform, you know, at their peak potential. But when you're going in there and, you know, running the wrong route or, you know, throwing it to the wrong guy, you lose trust. Mm. And when there's no trust from the team, you're not going to be put out there and be put in the best position to succeed. So my thing is, you know, one of my best pieces of advice for young guys is, you know what you're doing early. And give this organization a reason to keep you around every single day.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, tell me this. When you were in high school, we already talked about how you were the man, mm-hmm. like that. And then college and stuff. And then you get in the NFL and all of a sudden you're not the man.
Sure.
And I would imagine some ways that's kind of good. Because, I mean, I got to meet Tony Romo one time. I was so impressed with him. And then when I put something on Facebook, all the Tony Romo haters came out. I'm like, dude, calm down. So... But walk me through that, like psychologically, you're on the top, and then you're in the middle of the pack. How do you deal with that component to it?
Yeah, so, you know, I talked earlier about how I wasn't ready for, you know, the attention that I was getting when I was 16, 17 years old. I was a boy, right? I wasn't a man. I wasn't ready for it. But it was all positive. So, mm-hmm. you know, it kind of built me up a little bit, made me feel good. So I started to rely on that. That was what my identity was wrapped up in, what other people thought of me. And early on in my career at Florida, it didn't go as expected. You know, I was the number one quarterback coming in. Everyone was super excited for me. My freshman year, I didn't play, but the fans wanted me in there. So I go in my sophomore year and we have a really good season, but you know, maybe I don't perform to the fans' expectations. And I see it on Instagram. I see it on Twitter and I start to just like feel heavy. I start to get like nervous. Why am I letting these people down? Why isn't everything working out super easy? Like I thought it would. So it's tough. It's tough. And, you know, you got to be able to realize that you can't control everyone's opinion. And, you know, the circle of people that really matter, that's the people that you got to, you know, go after and impress those guys.
And finding that center for yourself,
yeah.
Right? Sammy Smith's a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And when he played for the Dolphins, he had some fumble issues. And the crowd used to, you know, do these terrible cheers and was mm-hmm. like, you know, you suck, Sammy, and this kind of stuff. And so I remember talking about that, like, and Sammy, you don't. I remember I said, Sammy, you don't suck. And he looked at me and he goes, I know.
I really don't. Yeah.
I really don't. But he was saying that from his faith, you know. And then I'll tell you the other thing is I had a great interview one time with Emmett Smith. And I said to him, first off, I could tell he still felt some shame that he left UF early. And when he said that to me, I was like, doggone it. What more could you do? I kid you not, a couple days later, I was at a lunch and I met somebody who was a big time Gator and I mentioned that. And this guy got enraged. He was like, he should feel bad, you know? And I just remember thinking, man, it's just a sport. So I have to think there's some sort of balance of like really taking it seriously as a job and then leaving it.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, you definitely have to figure out that work-life balance. I think we were walking, you know, down the hallway earlier and I was talking about how a season, you can really get immersed in it and it feels like that's the only thing that's going on in your world. But if all your eggs are in that basket all the time and that's where you find your worth, then you're going to be let down every time.
Yeah.
Right. Cause it's not going to be perfect. Things aren't always going to go the way that you want them. And if that's what's, you know, if that's what's keeping you moving, it's going to let you down.
Well, I kind of think that's the same for people in business. That's because it could be the same for a school teacher or a doctor or a cop if they get too overly wrapped into their identity. Like what you do is not who you are.
Right.
Right. Like, I mean, you are an NFL quarterback and that's so awesome and so cool. At the same time, the absence of that, you are still Jeff. Yep. And you're a dad and a husband and a great person. Right. And so having that psychological understanding, some people don't get that. And if they lose their job, they lose their identity. It's like some of them will lose their life.
Yeah, no, it's real. And I see that a lot, you know, high performing people who were in the same position as me, highly recruited, you know, went through the whole draft process, played, and all of a sudden it's gone. at, you know, 30 years old, what do I do now? So it's tough. It really is. And people all, you know, people say, I've heard the, you know, word, it's not who am I, it's whose am I?
Mm.
And, you know, when you know that you're a child of Jesus, that's when you can really come to peace.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, I've really have tried to embrace getting older. I know this is going to shock you. I don't dye my hair. It really is, you know, this sort of silver white color. But you know, when you're young and you're ramping up, you gain, right? Like you gain the ability to ride a bike and then drive a car and then vote and then whatever. As you get older, you start losing things. Like that's part of it. My mom is 83 and she really can get out of the house like once a day. She's losing. She can't go to certain things. And so what I would imagine that like that's sort of part of that NFL experience. It's like gain, and then, you know, lose. And having a healthy perspective in respect of that arc. Don't fight it, but deal with it. I guess that's got to be a thing too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, in the normal world, I seem like a young guy, but in the NFL, I'm an old graybeard, right? I'm the vet all of a sudden that young guys are looking at. And, you know, I started really feeling it this off season. You know, I work out 4 days a week. I wake up and those ankles are a little tighter.
Right.
You know, it's not as easy to just, you know, show up and go. You got to really stretch. So this is really the first time I'm feeling it. And, you know, I wouldn't say I'm on the downside yet, but I'm getting closer to that hump, you know?
Well, I think just embracing it is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So last quick thing I want to ask you about, no big deal. I want to talk to you about money. No big deal. Talking about money.
Yeah.
So in that same vein, it's a weird world. You know, most people graduate college, they're 21, 22, and they make money, and then it goes up and up and up and up. And then when they're like 57 or something, that's when they typically peak or whatever the number is. And it's bizarre world in your world where it's like you peak and then it could go to zero. And I would imagine that if done wisely, man, peak could be set for life. If done poorly, it could be a disaster. So can you just touch on that for a second?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you hit it on the head. You come into the league and you're making X amount of dollars right off the bat. When you went from eating at a cafeteria to being able to eat, you know, a 4-star steak dinner every night, it's tough. So a lot of guys just fall in love with the lifestyle. They don't realize what they're spending. They don't know how to save. They don't realize that this isn't going to last forever. And you see it too many times. And we're educated from when we're in college to when we're in the NFL that this isn't going to last forever. But it's the classic keeping up with the Joneses. You know, mm-hmm. You see the veteran guys who have been doing it for 10 years who can do that. And then the rookies just trying to keep up with them. So it's sad. It's tough. It really is. It's tough to be able to discipline yourself, to live well under your means for a few years, but to be able to sustain it for a lifetime. So, you know, the guys that do it right are set up for success. The guys who do it wrong are in a world of hurt quickly after the paychecks stop rolling in.
You know, Jeff, it's interesting because Mike, my boss here, my producer, among other things, he's a musician, right? And I'm sure you would tell stories about some young guy that really made it great, but then they can't hang on. And, you know, I've seen that in business. I've seen it with pastors. You know, there's a pastor that gets real hot and in their 20s and it's too much. They can't handle it. I have a theory that sometimes the saddest day in a person's life is the day after they won the gold medal or the day after they won the Super Bowl. And I think that's proven out. There's been studies and it's true because they think that thing is going to be the thing. And it's not that it's not a great thing or achievable thing, but it's never going to fill that hole, right? It's never going to satisfy. So it's not that it's not worthy. Those things are worthy, but we got that figured out. Well, Jeff, thanks for coming on the show. It's so nice to have some time with you. You're such a good guy.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I want you to know I'm cheering for the Texans, man. I'm all about it.
Yeah,
about it.
Thanks for having me. This was a great conversation. And with that, go Texans, right?
Yeah, go Texans. I promise you, even if they're playing the Dolphins, I'm going to cheer for the Texans.
Love it.
So thanks so much. And God bless you. We'll be thinking about all season. So, folks, thanks for listening to Crossman Conversation. And as always, support your local HBCU.
This has been Crossman Conversation, produced by a Crossman Career Builders Mark Radio Production.
Are you unhappy with your current school situation? The Central Florida Urban League is proud to announce the opening of the Whitney M. Young Academy. The WMYA is a Montessori-style school for students, grades K through 12, 100% customized to your child. They'll receive individual lessons that strengthen their academics, social skills, and confidence. Interested in touring our school or learning more about it? Call us at 407-841-7654 or visit our website at cful.org/WMYA.